This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. In season 4 of Veep, now airing on HBO, the vice president, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, has ascended to the Oval Office, along with her foul-mouthed staff.
Why this internet is sketchier than our economic forecasts?
Oh, that's because your laptop is still running on Windows 2000, you
Dan, we need to break this Cassie bitch. The British who invented the internet and anybody in between.
He knows I've got a bigger role in the White House now, which means I've got a bigger which means he can suck it.
Why are we talking about noodles?
No, let me rephrase that. Why the are we talking about noodles? Oh,
this is all Cliff's fault. That grinning Ewok. They're all in the Situation Room. I'm stuck here swearing in a load of senators.
Last month, Veep creator Armando Iannucci announced that although the show would be returning for a fifth season, he would not. I spoke to him last year while reporting on our special hour on Washington, D.C. We never aired that interview until now. Why do you suppose that Washington has suddenly become the default venue for television drama and comedy? What's so great about Washington all of a sudden?
You say great, perhaps because it's not great. When there are great swellings of support, for example, for issues like gun control, and then nothing happens. Or when invasions of other countries happen that no one was consulted on, or shutdowns happen despite all the best brains in Washington saying that they're contriving to come up with a deal, I think people feel that they're not part of the conversation that's going on inside DC. In the news and in current affairs, there is a vacuum because, you know, politics isn't progressing. And in that vacuum, you know, come idiots like me and comedians and dramatists and turn it into entertainment.
You are a foreigner with strange foreign ideas. How did you get your arms around Washington, D.C. politics so well and so quickly?
Well, I am a bit of a political nerd. When others, when they were 13, 14 in the UK, followed football and could ream off all the statistics, I was able to tell you who won which election and by how much a majority. And especially American politics, I'm interested in how American government works. You know, I've spent a lot of time in DC talking to people who work in these buildings. And I say to them, I really want to know the dull detail. What time do you get in the morning? What's your office look like? What sort of people do you work with? And the revelation is that inside those big, grand edifices built like Roman imperial temples are just hordes and hordes of people kind of making it up as they go along.
A limestone Potemkin village you've just described.
Well, the West Wing is just a warren of tiny, tiny rooms. And in the State Department, they couldn't afford to buy chairs that matched the tables and the desks. So they got chairs that are actually too high for the desk. So you can't pull the chair in under the desk. You can't sit comfortably. And in the West Wing, there are too many chairs for each table because everyone wants to say they work in the West Wing. So they cram as many people as possible into these tiny rooms. And very respectable, powerful-looking middle-aged men in suits sitting rumpled up on spare sofas and seats in corridors because there isn't a desk for them. Everyone wants to say that they work in the West Wing. The character of Jonah is really based on someone we met who worked deep in the bowels of the West Wing. I mean, it was so in the bowels, it was part of a cave network for another state, really, by the time that you found his office. He said, actually, when you phone someone and say, I'm calling from the White House, you can hear the person on the end of the line holding the phone up to everyone else in the room, mouthing to all their colleagues, I've got someone from the White House on the other end of the line. And he said he just got a real buzz knowing that that was happening.
This character, Jonah, he's in his 20s. He is pompous and kind of clueless about the image he projects.
You here to spy, Jonah?
I'm not here to spy. I work at the White House, so I can just walk in and say, I'm from the White House. What the f*** are you doing?
What? You work at the White House? Oh, my God, can I b*** you?
Yes, you can. I will meet you out in the hallway in
a few
seconds.
Sure, I'll get a stepladder.
Anyway, I work for the White House. What the f*** are you doing?
People in Washington, they all say to me they know a Jonah. You do get other people in Washington saying, oh, I'm the Amy in the office or I'm the Dan in the office, but I know a Jonah. Somewhere there is a tomb to the unknown Jonah, somewhere in D.C.
Tell me about the Eye of Sauron.
Are you familiar with the Eye of Sauron? Fire-rimmed, all-seeing eye from
Tolkien's Lord of the Rings.
I think I caught it on a plane once.
The Eye of Sauron is the near-perfect analog for the modern media. If we can draw the eye to Helsinki, then it won't be looking at what's going on here.
And what is exactly going on here?
I cannot tell you that, Mike.
Is Selena Gollum?
By releasing another story, that will take the Eye of Sauron away from Washington. In this case, it was something to do with the spy scandal in the White House and the president being caught in a lie. One of the most frightening responses I've had from people in DC is, you know, when an episode has gone out and it's about an issue that we completely made up. We thought this was a good farcical plot line. And then somebody comes up and says, how on earth did you find that out? For example, in the very first episode of season three, Jonah gets fired from the West Wing for writing under a pseudonym, a kind of gossip blog about goings on in the White House. Now, actually, some of our consultants in DC said to us, oh, you've got to take that out. That would never happen. Never in a million years would that happen. The very next day, someone got fired from the White House for writing an anonymous Twitter feed about what was going on in the White House. So all I can do is hold my hands up in despair and just say, see, told you.
Now, I'm not going to ask you actually to slag off other shows about Washington, but some tried to get the details right by perfectly approximating the Oval Office, for example, right? But it seems to me that you have found another path to verisimilitude. What's the secret?
For me, because comedy is a distortion, a bending of the truth, there's always a danger that you push it too far. And so our safety net really is bedding the comedy in reality. So that's why we spend a lot of time going in for the detail. And also, when we're shooting it, we get performers who can take the dialogue and make it their own, make it very naturalistic. So they're talking over each other, interrupt each other, give each other funny looks. I mean, I was a big fan of, you know, some of the great Robert Altman films like Nashville and MASH. It felt real and yet it was funny at the same time because he pushed the reality.
What is the essence of Washington?
Well, it seems to me to be the same 300 or 400 people taking turns at acting as if they know what they're doing.
Armando, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Armando Iannucci is the creator of HBO's Veep.